Listen fast because I'm going to talk fast. Did you catch in the video a few moments ago that the woman portraying Mary used the word thirst or some variation of it some four or five times? Thirst. Thirst is a common, real, ongoing need or desire. We all thirst, not just physically, but also spiritually. And that is what I would suggest to you that Aristeo realized in 2008, that he thirsted spiritually. We all have this deep down in our soul thirst for that which satisfies. And did you catch what she said on the video? The last thing she said was, "I know where to find that water." Do you? Do you? What child is this? I'm going to read from John chapter 4, verse 7. "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' She said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life.'" As we look at Advent, we're going to be dealing with or centering around this idea of what child is this from the hymn. And only this child Jesus is the living water. This child Jesus is the only one who meets your deepest needs. Jesus and the disciples had been in the southern part of the country in Judea. They were going to go to Galilee, which was up in the north. A good Jewish person would have gone around Samaria because they didn't want to deal with the Samaritans. They looked at Samaritans as half-breeds, as sellouts, as people that they didn't want to associate with. But Jesus took the direct route. He and the disciples went through Samaria. And about noon, they get to a city, and outside the city, there's a well. And they're hungry, and they're tired, and they're thirsty. Well, Jesus seems to be the only one who has stayed behind at the well about noon, while the disciples went into the town to buy some food. And it says that a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Well, that should have told you something right there if you understood that it was in the evening that the women generally went to the well to draw water. She went at noon because of who she was and the decisions she had made. She was a woman of, well, let's just be nice and say she had a less than reputable reputation. And she says, she and Jesus get into this conversation. And she talks about water, and Jesus says, "I'll give you water that meets your deepest need. I'll give you living water." Well, let me tell you, there's not a one of us. I don't care where you were born. If you were born in the United States, or you were born in Mexico, or you were born in Mozambique, we all have that deep down need in our hearts for that living water. And she said to Jesus, "You have nothing to draw with. And surely you're not greater than our ancestor Jacob, are you?" And my answer to her and to you is yes, Jesus is greater. And the water he offers lasts not for a short time, but for eternal life. Do you know what the most favorite game in the world is? It's not soccer or baseball or some game that you play physically. It's not Monopoly or any of the other plethora of board games that you sit and play. The most favorite game in America, in the whole world, is the blame game. I even came across an article one time which the writer very definitely tongue-in-cheek said, "My parents didn't give me an excuse to use." So he was blaming his parents for not having a good reason for not whatever. And we're doing that. We want somebody to blame when what we need to do is own our lives and own our decisions. But we want to blame somebody else. Today, is your life the way you want it? Another way of asking that is are you thirsty? Do you have this deep sense of need and nothing seems to satisfy that need, that thirst? Maybe you've tried to put a lot of things into your life, or even people into your life, or anything else to satisfy that deep soul thirst that you have, and nothing, no one but Jesus Christ can meet that need. We have self-medicated. We've hoped that a man or a woman will meet the deepest need. We buy things or do things all in the hopes that something or someone will meet that deepest need in our souls. And only living water that Jesus gives provides and meets that need. Well, I want to read Hebrews chapter 1, if you're finding your place, and I think it's going to be on the screen. That's who Jesus is. Hebrews chapter 1 is more or less his resume in short. The writer of Hebrews says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Only this child Jesus could be the living water. This child Jesus is the only one who meets your deepest needs. If you've ever submitted a resume or ever reviewed a resume is basically saying, they're telling you the person's qualifications. And that is what these first four verses are in effect. The writer of Hebrews is saying that Jesus is the Messiah. And he starts out the saying that Jesus is a better communication from God the Father than the angels are. Jesus came to be the mediator of the new revelation, God's revelation to us. Referencing back to all the scripture known to them, where God has spoken to the fathers in the prophets, through the prophets, God has now spoken to us in his Son. And so the first reason Jesus could be the living water is that he is the Son of God. And the Father has spoken to us through him. Jesus is the radiance of God, the Father's glory, and the exact representation of his nature. We ask ourselves, what child is this? This child is the Son of God, God in human form. Jesus is then the agent and sustainer of creation. The second reason Jesus could be the living water that meets a person's deepest needs is that he had made purification of sins. He had paid the price that you and I owed and could not pay. He reconciled us back to God. And this reconciliation is a perfect gift once and for all. So only Jesus could be the living water. What has God said to you? What has God said to you? It may be that what God is saying to some of you is that come to me. I want to have a relationship with you. You've played church, you've been to church, you've played church, but you don't know Him as your Savior. I know what I was dealing with as an 8-year-old child. You say, you were only 8 years old. All I knew was is that I had something missing in my life, and that something was Jesus Christ. I had a soul first as an 8-year-old. I didn't understand a lot of things. It wasn't that I had done a lot of things, but I just knew that there was something missing in my life. And now I want to ask you, what is God saying to you now? How's He dealing with your life? How's He dealing with what's going on in your heart? We've come to celebrate Christmas. We start the Advent season. We start to remember who this child is. Are you thirsty this day? Come to Christ. Let us talk to you if you don't have a relationship with Him. Whatever it may be, do you know Jesus as the source of the living water that you most desire?